It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to episode 170 of the Ron and Brian podcast. It is Sunday night. It is 8 o'clock. That means it is time for the show. Brian, how are you this evening, my friend?
Concerned. I'm worried. I am worried about Louisiana. I don't know if you've spent all day watching the Weather Channel like I did today, but I am very concerned with what is going on. They are taking a Category 4 hurricane right to the kisser.
Do we need to consult the Doppler 6900?
I will admit that I believe that this show has a somewhat northeast slant. So I believe that if the weather event were to impact the northeast, I think that's when Doppler 6900 goes into effect. Now we are simply spectators.
Okay, fair enough. Well, then
but it looks like
Doppler 6900.
It appears they're getting their ass handed to them. Hopefully the flooding is kept to a minimum and there is a limited number of lives lost. It's just such a shame that as they are going through their third wave of COVID with the hospitalizations and the sick, that they're also now most very likely going to be losing power, destruction to property. My thoughts and prayers go out to the people of the great state of Louisiana.
They were saying potential as bad as Katrina, potentially. Already power grids, I think about half of the state having lost power from the last map that I saw. So yeah, hopefully they can ride out the storm, literally. But in the meantime, we'll hoist a drink to them and we'll have our drink of the week.
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Slanche.
Drink of the week, drink of the week, drink of
Brian,
the week.
Brian, drink of the week. What are you drinking this week?
From our good friends over at Jackalope Brewery, something they call Foghorn Hazy IPA. Mm. Now, a lot of people say, Brian, what is a IPA? That's an IPA.
That is
what
very-
is a hazy? Look, you can't even see me. You can't see me. I'm like John Cena right now.
Woo!
Still here. Ron, Foghorn is an oh-so-smooth drinking hazy IPA that will whisk your mind to the coast with its juicy pineapple aroma and tropical citrusy flavors, thanks to the abundance of Centennial, Simcoe, and Citra hops. Coming in at 6.8 ABV, rated 3.88 on Untappd. This is Foghorn Hazy IPA.
Nice.
Well,
it's actually not bad.
All right, good.
It doesn't have that bitter aftertaste that a lot of IPAs do. And that might be from all that citrusy junk that I talked about earlier while reading words off of my laptop that I had copy and pasted from another website. Ron, may I ask you, what are you working on today?
So this is something different, something I'm not quite sure how this one is going to play out, one I picked up when I was in upstate New York a while back, but definitely a summer beer, one that I wanted to make sure that I get in before the end of Hot Podcaster Summer.
Hot Podcaster Summer.
So it is from the good folks at Stone Yard Brewing Company in Brockport, New York. This is a little something that they call Lilac Wheat Ale. Stop and smell the flowers. That's right. It's Lilac Wheat Ale, clocking in at a impressive 5.2%. It's got a floral nose to it, without a doubt. Let's see how it tastes.
Drum roll, please.
I'm taking a second sip, not because it's that good. It's confusing. Understood. Me. Beer is confusing me.
And while you're taking that sip, I'd also like to see if you can pronounce a word that's spelled L-I-L-A-C one lilac? More time for me.
Lilac?
Lilac.
It's
lilac.
Lilac.
It's lilac.
Lilac, where I come from, my friend.
Is it really?
It is. That upstate
My father named one of the homeless women on the 7 train Lilac Lily because she was one of the most foul-smelling human beings that I have ever experienced in my life. She would come through a subway car begging for money. We're talking the 1980s. She would come through begging for money, and you would be probably about 4 stops after when she had passed you, and you could still smell her on the train. And she focused on the 7 train, so he started calling her Lilac Lily. Like, hey, guess who I saw today on the train? Lilac Lily. So are you enjoying your lilac?
It's got an aftertaste to it.
But you're not ruling it out. That's the part I'm finding interesting here.
And I will finish this because we always make the pledge to finish our beer. I don't know.
Absolutely.
I don't know that it's one that I'll drink again.
Okay, well, that's not
or lilac. Hey, here's a question for you. Is it caramel or caramel?
Well, I think I go caramel.
All right.
How's it spelled?
C-A-R-A-M-E-L.
Caramel.
All right.
Do you just drop the A, pretend it doesn't exist?
No, I say caramel, and my wife disagrees with me. She says caramel.
Well, I would check the spelling.
I think it's the silent A, but... Hoagie, as Billy is pointing out. Hoagie, it's pronounced hoagie. All right.
I do love hearing you pronounce hoagie and rice.
I mean, now I just overemphasize it all the time, and that I blame on you.
But what's interesting is the couple times I've been in the car with your wife, she has a subtle Philadelphia accent, or you may want to call it like a Southern Jersey, which we know that Billy has given up all claims to,
right?
But there is an accent where there are some R's that are added to words that I don't believe are actually there.
I understand. Well, we can
hold on one more time.
We'll discuss hoagies and water ice later on, but in the meantime, it's This Week in Racism.
This
week
in
Racism.
Not as big a week in racism this week, Brian. Still 2 pages, but I was able to keep it at a 12 font. So definitely think we will stick to less than a tight 10 minutes today. So let's get right into it. In California, Salinas High School students created an Instagram account where they posted photos of students posing with a black baby doll named Shaniqua. One video showed 2 students stomping on the baby. Parents say this isn't the first time something like this has happened at Salinas High, and Salinas Union High School District said they are currently investigating. A New Jersey towing company has lost its contract with the township after one of its employees was captured on camera calling a customer the N-word. The altercation took place outside of a Jayco towing in Parsippany, Troy Hills Township. Police are seen breaking up an argument between the towing company employee and the man recording the incident, who had his car towed after getting into an accident. As the employee is being brought into the towing company's building, he is heard shouting the N-word. The town of Parsippany said in a statement that, quote, after reviewing the video, the township of Parsippany, Troy Hills, and the Parsippany Police Department has decided to no longer use a Jayco towing effective immediately. Additionally, a Jayco towing has been removed from any rotation list for any towing business conducted by municipal operations. A man from Marion, Virginia, that had been accused of burning a cross in a black family's front yard in 2020 has been sentenced. James Brown, age 41, pled guilty in April to criminal interference with federally protected housing rights based on the victim's race and was sentenced to 18 months in federal prison. Brown admitted that he had burned the cross to threaten and intimidate the black family, and a release from the U.S. Attorney's Office revealed that he was known to use racial epithets when referring to the family. A squad of mostly minority cheerleaders from a California high school were called racial slurs and were subjected to monkey noises from the opposing team's crowd during a football game. Valley View High School's football team was visiting Temecula Valley High School August 20th when the Valley View cheerleaders became victims of racial attacks called derogatory and racial slurs and touched unwelcomely by the home team students, according to Kenya Williams, a Valley View counselor and cheerleading coach. Temecula Valley High School principal Alan Williams, in a statement with the Temecula Valley Unified School District, promised swift and appropriate action and a prompt investigation. A lawsuit has been filed against a Kansas McDonald's by a black man who says his multiple requests to avoid working the same shift as a white coworker known for using racial slurs were repeatedly denied by the restaurant. Anthony Green started working as a shift manager at a McDonald's restaurant in Ottawa, Kansas in January 2020 when he was 17. The next month, he overheard a Caucasian employee use the N-word at work per the lawsuit. Green reported the coworker in writing and told his supervisor, who was the location's general manager. He then requested not to be scheduled at the same time as the employee in the future, but Green continued to be scheduled the same shifts as the employee. Green is suing the fast food giant and a franchisee for damages due to this and other instances of constant racial harassment that he faced before quitting the job in May 2020. Two black men have filed a lawsuit against Walmart claiming that they were handcuffed and accused of stealing the television that they were trying to return. The plaintiffs, Dennis Stewart, a former police officer, and Terrence Richardson, a pastor, were trying to return a $300 TV last September. Stewart had bought the TV earlier in the day, but said it wasn't working properly and so wanted to return it. The two men said that when they went to return the TV, a white employee at the customer service counter accused them of stealing it and refused to acknowledge their receipts as proof of purchase. The associate called the police, who then handcuffed the two men and took them to the loss prevention office. Police released the men, but a store manager reportedly asked the men to sign a paper stating that they would be arrested if they ever returned to the store. Their lawsuit accuses Walmart of racial discrimination, false arrest and imprisonment, and breach of contract. And graphic body camera video kept secret for more than 2 years shows a Louisiana State Police trooper pummeling a black motorist 18 times with a flashlight, an attack the trooper defended as, quote, pain compliance. "I'm not resisting," Aaron Larry Bowman can be heard screaming between blows on the footage obtained by the Associated Press. The May 2019 beating following a traffic stop left him with a broken jaw, 3 broken ribs, a broken wrist, and a gash to his head that required 6 staples to close. The state police released a statement saying that Jacob Brown, the white trooper who struck Bowman, quote, engaged in excessive and unjustifiable actions, failed to report the use of force to his supervisors, and intentionally mislabeled his body camera video. Before resigning in March, Brown tallied 23 use of force incidents dating from 2015 to 2019, or dating from 2015, 19 of the 23 of them targeting black people, according to state police records. Federal prosecutors are examining the case in a widening investigation into police brutality and potential cover-ups involving both troopers and state police leadership in Louisiana. It always seems to go back to Louisiana with the racism.
Thoughts and prayers with everybody in Louisiana right now.
And we do have a couple stories in Racism Rewind.
Racism Rewind.
And Mark Bartlett, who threatened a group of black protesters with a loaded gun and yelled racial slurs at them on Martin Luther King Jr. Day in 2019, attempted to use a stand your ground defense. In a hearing Monday, the young boys Bartlett allegedly threatened testified that Bartlett got out of his car with a loaded gun and called them the N-word and other insults. Miami-Dade Circuit Court Judge Alberto Milia denied the request to use the defense, and Bartlett will now stand trial for 5 felony charges of carrying a concealed weapon, 3 counts of aggravated assault with prejudice, and improper exhibition of a firearm. And Jonathan Pentland, a sergeant first class in the U.S. Army, was found guilty of third-degree assault and battery after pushing a black man in a South Carolina neighborhood back in April. Pentland was seen in a viral video harassing the man as he was making his way through the neighborhood. "You're in the wrong neighborhood," Pentland is heard saying to the man. "I ain't playing with you. I'm about to show you what I can do." A judge ordered the Fort Jackson instructor to either spend 30 days in jail for the misdemeanor charge or pay a $1,087 fine. Pentland was suspended from the Army pending the criminal investigation, and a Fort Jackson spokesperson said officials will allow Pentland to exhaust all of his civilian appeals if he decides to appeal before considering further actions. That, Brian, is This Week in Racism.
I'm going to say this, and it may be on an unpopular opinion.
Okay.
That didn't seem as bad as other weeks. And I'm not saying that what we just heard was okay. None of those things were okay. Those are all awful people committing awful acts. But I didn't hear there wasn't the story that made me drop my jaw compared to previous weeks of bigotry and racism and hate.
I mean, to be fair, you don't pay 100% attention while I'm reading anyway.
I do not. I absolutely do not. I'd say you get a solid 80%, and a solid 80%. Like, I'm listening, but I'm also prepping myself for bits that we have laid out for the rest of the show.
Gotcha. Well, you got to get yourself ready for Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
How do I say this? I'm having a hard... Okay. People that know me understand that I love tradition.
You do.
And that I respect tradition. And I respect the loyalty to tradition. And when people do not respect tradition, when people are not loyal, it hurts. And it hurts very much. So, for instance, earlier this week, I had an opportunity with some friends of mine to continue a tradition. And I had received confirmations that this tradition was going to be kept. And at the last minute, I had a friend. I will call this person a friend. I'm comfortable expressing that level of emotion. But I had a friend reach out to me and say, "Hey, I know we have a tradition, but I do not respect it. I do not respect you. I have better friends. I have better things to do, and I will not respect your tradition." And that was a pain that I have not felt probably since my mother passed away.
Wow. That.
And I'm hurting. I'm hurting, Ron. So, when someone has stabbed me in the back, when someone has slapped me in the face, when someone has kicked me in the stomach and spit on my face and told me to take it, obviously after I'm aroused, and you know, I kind of, you know, address that issue.
Right.
So that I'm in a post-nut clarity state. When someone does that to me, the damage, I hold that damage. I'm like New Orleans after Katrina. Months later, they're still pulling bodies.
Right.
Years later, there's still PTSD.
So is that everything?
Yeah, I think so. I think it wraps it up pretty
well. All right, good. Well, I'm sorry to hear that that you had something like that happen to you. I'd imagine you feel similarly to if you were supposed to be going on vacation with someone and they cancel with you, you know, a day or two prior, or if they are supposed to attend a Halloween themed beer festival with you, but they had made other plans and they didn't care enough about you to check their calendar. I felt pain like that in the past. So I can certainly empathize.
So you do know what I'm feeling.
I do know what I'm feeling.
What's ironic is that somebody who knows what I'm feeling can can cause the pain themselves.
I understand. I understand. I understand. That's all I can say.
What is your what's your beef, Ron?
My beef.
I mean, is your beef rough? Is your beef rowdy? Like, how would you describe your beef?
My beef. I also feel betrayal this week. My beef this week is with our president, Joseph R. Biden, Sleepy Joe, as we will occasionally refer to him around here, because he did the unthinkable this past week, Brian. He did the unthinkable, and I didn't even want to. I couldn't even get the video clip because it hurt so much. He referred to the Pfizer vaccine as the gold standard. Now, all right, I get that this week Pfizer did receive FDA approval, you know, but the approval, again, all that states is that it is safe for you to receive the Pfizer vaccine. But as we have discussed, you know, Pfizer against the Delta variant, 46% effective. As opposed to a vaccine that is out there with 76% effectiveness against the Delta vaccine, a little vaccine we like to refer to as the Moderna vaccine,
the gold standard,
the true gold standard. And so that's why that's my beef, Brian. I'm very upset with his choice of phrase.
Now, I can't tell you how to feel. Right. I can't tell you that your feelings are not true. What I can say, and I believe if you can cut President number 46 a little slack, we know that his mental capacity is diminished.
Right.
We know that he is not the best public speaker. Yes, we understand that he is probably a bit out of his league running the free world. So I think that in this instance, what he meant to say was that Moderna was the gold standard.
The gold standard.
However, in the passion of the moment to get the words out, he said Pfizer, which we know is the silver standard, is second best. I mean, not a close second, but still the second best coronavirus vaccine out there. I think you need to, if I were you, I would sit there and say, hey, listen, let's cut Joe a little slack and accept that this was just one of his many verbal faux pas during this.
I will accept nothing less than a statement, a public apology, and a correction.
Well, I believe Jen Psaki issued a correction the next day during her press conference briefing, where she acknowledged that Moderna,
the gold standard,
is clearly the elite vaccine that's out there. Speaking of vaccines.
Yes, we have yet another reminder.
Just a reminder, folks.
Vaccine mandate will go into effect on Sunday, September 12th. That is when this broadcast will start to, we'll be filtering ourselves in 100% Fauci-vision. It is, you know, some new technology that we're testing out. But again, you need to at least have your first shot of the vaccine by Sunday, September 12th, in order to continue listening and or viewing this podcast.
Listen, people, it's because we love you. It's because we care about you. We are committed to providing a safe space for those that want to laugh and cry together. A negative COVID test will not be accepted. No. As we know that the unvaccinated carry a higher viral load than the vaccinated. Right. After September 12th, mask use is encouraged if you're going to be listening indoors and within 6 feet of anyone else. If you're not feeling well, please stay home. Do not listen. Right. We do not want you joining the community and spreading whatever it is that you have. And this is not because we want to shun the unvaccinated. We care too much about everyone that listens to our podcast. And we care about them so much that we cannot live with ourselves if we risk potentially exposing our fans to COVID-19 or furthering its spread through our beloved community.
And this is also for the benefit of the unvaccinated also, who the CDC updated this week. They are 29.2% times as likely to be hospitalized with COVID-19 because of the virus versus fully vaccinated people. So keep that in mind. We're receiving a lot of comments, positive and negative, about this. But again, we're doing this as a matter of public health.
Listen, I think, we're trying to get ahead of the issue. You're seeing a lot of vaccine mandates kicking in, entertainment venues, restaurants, municipalities, healthcare systems, the federal government, the U.S. military.
Many places requiring vaccines.
This is not something that is novel. This is not political. Our personal beliefs on what took place in November of 2020 has no implication on this decision. This is purely based on our decision, mutually agreed upon. This wasn't an easy decision to come to. Ron and I had multiple back and forths. At one point, we even made your wife come in and break a tie in terms of one of the aspects of the policy. But this is for your safety. We may lose some listeners. We may lose some viewers. And unfortunately, we want them to know, if you are right now watching or listening and you are about to walk away from our community on September 12th, we will always be here for you when you come back with your vaccination status updated. We are inclusive. We want as many people joining us as possible. So September 12th, we are also the first podcast that is going to be only for the vaccinated. I've not seen really the news reports really embracing that fact. I would have thought that Fox News would have come after us. I'm prepared for that heat. I'm prepared to take on OAN.
And this is
bring it on, Newsmax. Dox me if you can.
What it comes down to, Brian.
Sorry.
Sometimes doing the right thing isn't necessarily doing the easy thing.
Ron, most of the time, Ron, you have the ability to crystallize my 5-minute rambling rant into 7 words of pure eloquence, and you just did it again.
Thank you. Well, we have a ton of COVID-19 stories this week. So many that I think we need to follow our racism policy. I think we need to keep it to a tight 10 minutes of COVID. How does that sound?
We are limiting ourselves to 10 minutes of COVID.
We are limiting ourselves to 10 minutes of COVID.
This is why I love you. This is why I love you, sir, because you didn't even mention that to me.
That's right.
You just decided that on your own, on the fly, having no respect for my 50% ownership in this podcast. And you want to know something? I am such a simp for you that I love it. And let's do it. 10 All minutes. Right. Put it up on the board.
Boom. So Delta Airlines announced that they are going to be raising health insurance premiums for any of their employees that are unvaccinated. They're going to be adding on a surcharge of $200 a month for all unvaccinated employees. Brian, your thoughts?
I'm not comfortable with that.
Really?
Yes, because once you start this path, are you now also going to charge surcharges for obese employees that are also bringing their health issues into your group insurance plan? Are we then going to take up women that get pregnant and charge them more? Are we going to go after employees who have cancer and ask them to pay more for their health insurance? Are we going to look for employees with weak meniscuses who are going to drag in $30,000 in medical claims? And are we going to ask those people to contribute more? Where does it end, Ron? That's a policy I like. I like as it's a way of punishing the unvaccinated. However, makes me very uncomfortable. It's a slippery slope. Where do you draw the line?
All right.
At some point, we're going to start charging people based on the likelihood they will have to develop diseases. I don't like it.
All right. We have told you to get the vaccine. One thing we can definitely tell you not to do is to try and take horse medicine for your COVID-19. Oklahoma stores, other areas in the South are selling out of ivermectin paste. Despite FDA pleas not to take the drug, there is a form of this that does fight malaria, but it is prescribed by doctors. The FDA and the CDC has said do not eat the horse paste. But once again, much like when President Trump recommended people inject themselves with bleach, we are now seeing a spike in calls to poison control centers in areas like Oklahoma, Alabama, Texas, majority red states, because people are not only are they utilizing the ivermectin horse paste, which is used for vermin, but they are also over-medicating themselves. They're using 2 to 5 times the dosage. One dose of it would be bad enough. 2 to 5 doses can cause some severe damage. So again,
it's a paste.
It is
the ivermectin comes in.
It is. Well, this
is it.
The form it does
paste.
It's a thick paste that they feed to the horse.
Now I have a question in terms of viscosity.
Okay,
is this something that one could be? You know. Could use as how do I put this? Like is this not something
lube.
One
can't use it as lube? Don't even think of that. I know where you're going. So do not ingest the horse paste and do not use the horse paste in your fleshlight.
I read somewhere that coronavirus targets the pee hole. So if you cover it with ivermectin, then I believe I should be okay.
There you go. And there it goes. It is like molasses, apparently. So
I would put some of it on my oatmeal.
You could, yes. I guess if you wanted to top it off, a little brown sugar and a little ivermectin.
I will say that I did see a video this week from, I believe it was Japan, where a health minister actually recommended the use of ivermectin. So again, I think this goes once again into the, there are very conflicting signals that we are getting from the medical community. And once again, it's trust this, don't trust that. And it's causing a lot of confusion out there.
All right. Also this week, rocker Eric Clapton released a new single, which many say is a rant against pandemic restrictions and vaccines. The song is called This Has Gotta Stop. And we've got a little clip of it right here.
This has gotta stop. Enough is enough. I can't take this BS any longer. It's gone far enough. You wanna claim my soul? You'll have to come and break down this door. I knew that something was going on wrong when you started laying down the law. I can't move my hands. I break out in sweat. I wanna cry. Can't take it anymore.
All right.
So it's gonna stop.
I don't even know where to go.
How did we not lose our YouTube feed just there, if I may ask?
I think when I break it into a video clip that we load up into StreamYard, it seems to have a different effect than when I just play stuff right off of YouTube.
Because we're still on YouTube. I've got my screen right here. We didn't get cut off.
We figured out the system, Brian. We figured out the algorithm. Clapton has blasted COVID-19 vaccines after he had some severe reactions after receiving the AstraZeneca vaccine. Again, I feel maybe if he had received the Moderna vaccine,
the gold standard,
we wouldn't be subject to this crappy song.
What I find really interesting is that you've got Eric Clapton who's saying that he himself had a bad experience and therefore is making broad statements about all of society, when mathematically there are for his bad experience, there are a million people that did not have a bad experience with their vaccine. So it's just, I just find it ironic that he's sitting there saying that his experience with his vaccine, albeit shitty,
because it's a shitty vaccine, AstraZeneca. Ugh.
Anywho, like I wish he had gotten Moderna,
the gold standard.
But it's just the fact of like I had a bad experience, so therefore nobody should go out and get this vaccine.
Well, that is why he's a guitarist and not a mathematician, Brian.
Fuck him.
Also, Liberty University in Virginia is going to enact a temporary campus-wide quarantine starting on Monday because of a spike in COVID-19 cases amongst students and staff. This quarantine is scheduled to end September 10th. Coming from the same university that when they opened up the fall semester, lifted building capacity restrictions and distancing and masking requirements. It also does not require vaccination. In addition to enacting the quarantine, they are starting to move classes online and suspend large indoor gatherings. Great comment by Billy, if we can jump back real quick, in that Eric Clapton had a bad experience with balconies also. Should we ban them? Where was the song against balconies? Where was
I think it was called Somewhere in Heaven.
Tears in Heaven does not mention banning a balcony in any way, shape, or form.
If I saw you in heaven,
What else do we have?
Would
here?
You
Florida?
Would
Florida you, continuing to make hold the
on,
news?
Hold on a second, Ron, hold on.
Yeah.
Would you take the vaccine?
You're eating.
If I saw you in heaven,
it's okay. We'll delay it.
Would you fall on your head if I saw you in heaven getting the Moderna shot into your little baby?
I have a question about heaven. Do you? Okay, here are a couple questions here.
All right.
And I don't know whether you're going to have an answer.
We're pausing the COVID timer so we can discuss heaven.
Janelle, put the time on it. Do you stay the same age in heaven as the age you are when you die? Do you age progressively? Do you revert to a better age? Is it like an option system where you get to pick? Like, does Eric Clapton's son ever advance past the age of 4? Like, does the dent in the head from when he landed on the ground, like the dent that caused, I mean, because kids, they have a soft head. The dent that the kid has, like, does that transfer into heaven? Or does somehow like a car, a mechanic pulling out a dent out of the trunk, like, do they just boom off the head and now suddenly his son has a normal size head? When Eric Clapton dies and he's going to be like 90, will his son still be 4 or will his son be like 18?
These are questions that have perplexed scholars and philosophers for years, Brian.
Do you change your clothes? Do you stay in the same clothes that you wear when you die? Do you bring up a wardrobe? Is there one type? Fuck. Oops. Do you wear like, or is there one uniform that everybody in heaven wears?
I've got no answers for you there. What did you just knock over?
My TV remote.
Oh, that's not too bad then. I was worried you might have knocked over your drink. Can we get back?
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have technically 5 drinking. That's not good. I have 5 drinking vessels right now.
Let's get back to Florida. We've got a bunch of Florida.
Time back in.
A Fort Lauderdale, Florida man, Dan Bauman, was arrested for assault of a student over a school mask mandate. Also, portable morgues have been sent to Florida as they have seen their COVID cases start to spiral. A Florida judge has banned the executive order, or I should say blocked the executive order that Governor DeSantis had put out there, trying to bar school districts from requiring mask mandates for students. So now masks have been ordered for most Florida students. But what is probably the worst Florida COVID story of the week. This woman, Lisa Stedman, spent more than a week in a... yes, what are we timing that for?
I would like to address all school officials in the state of Florida. We care about the safety of the children. We know they do not have the receptors. Dr. Drew told us that about a year ago. So there's no way the children can get it or spread it or whatnot. They don't have the receptors. However, if you are going to be instituting a mask mandate in your education system, you can reach out to us directly at ronandbrianpodcast@gmail.com. You can also reach out to Matt Beaker, our producer who handles all merchandise. I believe the email there is producer@ronandbrianpodcast.com. And you can purchase these in bulk. These are all cotton made. They are made in America. So the money that you are spending actually is helping the American economy. And as you can see right now, I am very comfortable speaking while wearing this mask. What could be more beautiful than a South Dade County classroom of 45 different children all wearing their Ron and Brian podcast face mask?
All right. Back to this horrible Florida story. Lisa Stedman, a nail technician in Florida. She had spent more than a week in a Central Florida hospital recovering from a serious case of COVID-19 while her husband, Ronald Stedman, who had contracted the virus, battled a milder case from home. When Lisa returned home on August 11th, she found her husband dead in their bed from COVID.
That's not good.
It is not good. So again, very preventable stuff going on here. What else do we have? A mom in Chicago is claiming that she has been stripped of parenting time over refusal to get the COVID-19 vaccine. This is in Chicago. She was in a hearing about child support issues in front of Cook County Judge James Shapiro. She shares custody. Her name is, Rebecca Furfit. She shares custody of her son with her ex-husband. When the judge asked her about her vaccination status, she said she refused to get the shot. So then he stripped her of parenting time.
That's dangerous as fuck, and I do not agree with it whatsoever. That I don't know where you stand on it, but that is absolutely crossing a line.
I have to agree with that.
That to me was very shocking when I saw, and I put it on the on the Google Doc, because I was shocked that a parent is going to be withheld from spending time with their children because of vaccination status. I understand that that people who are unvaccinated will be robbed of the joy of listening to the Ron and Brian podcast after September 12th. Brian, can you run the tickler? However, I just can't believe that we live in a world where a mother is being stripped from her child because she's not vaccinated.
All right. A beloved Kentucky pastor has died from COVID-19 after his church advised members on its website not to worry about the coronavirus because God is in control. This is Tim Parsons, senior pastor at Center Point Church in Lexington, Kentucky, died one day after the church embarked on a period of prayer and fasting, asking the Lord to restore him back to his normal self. Well, he will not clearly be restored to.
I think that one thing we have learned through this past 18 months of this pandemic is that God is not sitting there looking at the religious saying, oh, because you believe in me, you don't have to deal with coronavirus. There seems to be a connection between the religious and a rejection of coronavirus safety measures, and it feels, and maybe it's because we go out of our way to look for those stories, it feels like those people are suffering.
And also, the stress that these coronavirus cases are putting on ICU units across the country is not only impacting coronavirus patients. We have a story this week when U.S. Army veteran Daniel Wilkinson, he was feeling sick last week. He went to his hospital in Belleville, Texas, three doors down from his home. He had, let me look at the name of the disease because it was a little, he had gallstone pancreatitis. which is a treatable disease, but not one that his local hospital was equipped to treat. They were attempting to find him an ICU bed. The doctor actually ended up putting the request on Facebook because they were not able to find an ICU bed anywhere. They eventually did find one in Houston, so they helivacked him there. But by the time they helivacked him, it took about 7 hours for them to find this ER, to find this ICU bed. It was past the point of being able to help him. His intestines, his organs had already started to shut down, and he ended up passing away at a VA hospital in Houston, again, from a very treatable disease.
That's really fucking sad.
Yes.
That's really sad.
That was a tough. I actually watched that one on the news. That one was tough.
You watched him die, or you just
watched him? I watched the story of the doctor telling the story. The doctor that treated him. The doctor that spent 7 hours.
Yeah, ICU. That's a death that should have been avoided.
Now, on the plus side, we have the story of Pastor Danny Reeves, who last month was fighting for his life in the ICU at Dallas Bayer Medical Center. He had COVID-19. He was not vaccinated. He is the senior pastor at First Baptist Corsicana in North Central Texas. And now, having gotten out of the hospital, having recovered, he admits that his beliefs were false, and that he plans to tell his congregants his story on Sundays when he returns to the pulpit, and encourage all of them to go ahead and get the COVID-19 vaccine. So Pastor Danny Reeves also, I think, wants to make sure he can continue listening to this show after September 12th, but I think he wants to avoid seeing his followers suffer from the same disease that he had, and seeing all these people that are dying from it.
Is he related to Christopher in any way?
I'm not sure. I can have Matt look on that and get back to you.
If you could, that'd be great. Cause, I wonder what Christopher Reeve would do about the COVID vaccine right now. I feel he would be pro vaccine.
Let's hope. Before we close out,
he clearly is not pro, never mind. I'm going to censor myself right there. I'm going to say it anyway. I was going to say that Christopher Reeve was not pro landing gear. Yes, he had no landing gear when he got thrown from that horse.
True, very true. Well, before we close up on our COVID coverage, we are going to get to the new segment that we introduced last week. It was all the rage. You saw it spotlighted in People magazine this past week. Yes, that's right. It's time for Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
So,
Ron,
yes.
Ron, may I go first here?
Well, yes, we certainly.
Or do you want to introduce the bit for those that didn't join us last week?
For those who didn't join us last week, there are so many anti-vaxxers out there that are passing away from this disease, and we are trying to highlight those that the coronavirus defeated. We have tried to narrow it down. There are a lot. I mean, this week we had Samantha Willis. She was an unvaccinated mother who died of COVID days after birth. The photo of her newborn baby being carried next to her coffin. Florida cop Jennifer Seapot becoming the fifth cop to die of COVID-19 just in the past week. And then Texas anti-mask freedom defender Caleb Wallace dying of COVID-19, passing away at the age of 30, leaving behind a pregnant wife and three kids. But they did not make the final cut. Brian, who is your dead anti-vaxxer of the week?
Now, first, before we go into this week's candidates, I do want to go on record. We are not glorifying these people's deaths in any way.
No.
We are not happy in any way that these people died. This is a sad bit. This is not something that I enjoy doing. This is sitting there saying that there are really, there are people that are dying from this disease. Statistically speaking, if you get a vaccine, clearly preferably Moderna,
the gold standard,
or Pfizer,
silver standard.
those people, the chances that these people would have died are what did we say? 29 times you're less likely.
29% less likely to be hospitalized.
All right. So my candidate, and you know, I scour the internet because it's something that I do. My candidate this week for anti-vaxxer, dead anti-vaxxer of the week is Haley Mulkey Richardson. Can we put a photo? Ah, what a family photo. Unfortunately, Haley is not with us. Haley was a nurse in Alabama. She was 32 and she was pregnant. She had been working in a hospital in Pensacola, Florida, contracted COVID about 3 weeks ago. Unfortunately, this past week, Haley Mulkey Richardson, who lived outside of Mobile, was transferred to an ICU after her symptoms worsened. After about 3 or 4 days in the hospital, the obstetrician told her that she was going to lose the baby. Unfortunately, she continued to get worse and worse. At some point, the medical staff told her that they needed to stop treating her as if she were pregnant and needed to treat her as if they were trying to save her life. Julie Mulkey, who was Haley's mother, said her daughter refused to get vaccinated, even though the hospital that she worked at mandated it. Unfortunately, she said that she was refusing to get the vaccine and as such is no longer with us. Our hearts go out to the Richardson family, as well as their unborn child.
All right. A very sad story. But Brian, I give to you Mark Bernier, conservative radio host from Florida, who actually actively criticized coronavirus vaccination efforts, calling himself Mr. Anti-Vax. Before, of course, he contracted COVID-19, he used to be on WNDB.
WNDB!
In Florida, you know, at one point saying to somebody about the vaccine back in December, I'm not taking it. Are you kidding me? Mr. Anti-Vax? Jeepers! Who uses the word jeepers? But again, he apparently passed away on Saturday night. So I, Brian, again, for someone who was vocally anti-vax, I understand your nurse did not want to get the vaccine, but this man was probably culpable of talking many people into not also getting the vaccine. So I feel he should reign as our dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
We paid a lot for that intro, so I'll make sure we get our money's worth. Well, Brian, are you hydrating with some next level hydrogen water?
I am currently drinking. For those that were not listening last week, my beef of the week last week was that I had run out of next level hydrogen water, NXT LVL hydrogen. You can find this online. Go to our
Instagram account or go to ronandbrianpodcast.com for a link to our Instagram account. And you will find a link in our bio on how to order yourself some next level hydrogen water or energy shots.
They are talking about the health benefits of drinking water that is heavily infused with hydrogen and other colloidals.
The quad colloidals. So, Brian,
before we go any further, would it be possible for us to hype our Patreon? People still have 37 minutes until our Patreon starts. And I just want to remind people of what they are going to get. This is a very special week because in 37 minutes, we'll be starting our August pajama party.
That's right.
Is there any way to like add like a reverb on my voice? Pajama party. Hold on.
The pajama party.
There we go.
Well, that was really unnecessarily loud. Anywho, we've got a pajama party, and what that happens is let me back up a second. The podcast is free. We want as many people who are vaccinated after September 12th or up to that point to be able to enjoy the solid level of, it's beyond entertainment. It's actually part news and part entertainment. It's newsertainment that we are offering the masses here. However, there are costs associated with running a successful podcast. There's equipment, there is licensing, there are web hosting fees, there are equipment charges. I mean, just the very fact that our podcast host, the terabytes of data that are pulled on a weekly basis by people downloading the podcast, there are costs associated to it. We're not getting rich off of this podcast yet. Yeah, anywho, so as a way to offset some of the costs, we have a Patreon. It is, you can go to our website, Ron and Brian Podcast, click the link, or you can go to patreon.com/Ron and Brian Podcast, where for as little as $5 a month, $10, $25, $35, $20, $150, name your prep, whatnot, you can on a monthly basis support the podcast financially, help us offset some of the costs. One of the things that we do is every Thursday, about a half an hour after we're done with the podcast, we do an extra 30 minutes. It's behind the paywall. A lot of it is stories that we would get thrown off of YouTube for doing. Our podcast hosting company has already reached out to us multiple times and said, listen, the stories you're including in the podcast, we are not comfortable hosting this. You know, please find another venue where you can discuss such sexy, salacious stories behind, you know, that doesn't involve. So we do 30 plus minutes every week behind the paywall. People who want to show their support to the podcast, please feel free to sign up and help us. And one of the things that we do as a way to reward our Patreon subscribers is that once a month on the last Sunday of every month, we do what we call a pajama party. We invite all of our Patreons onto the show with us. The last couple months, we've done a game. 2 months ago, it was guest the OnlyFans subscription cost. Last month, it was a match game. This month, we are going to be guess the crime. We're going to be showing 15 different mugshots. Everyone is going to be guessing what crime these people are guilty of. We're throwing an added layer here. It's called Can You Beat Ron? Anybody who scores more correct answers in this guess the mugshot crime, if you can beat Ron, we will make a $25 charitable donation to your charity of preference.
There you go.
So once again, just a reminder, people, we're not trying to get rich off this podcast. We are just trying to make this the best show possible. If you're not currently a subscriber, go to our website, go to Patreon, sign up. It's a few dollars a month, less than what you're spending a month on coffee. It's a way to help us, help the world. And I really thought, Ron, you would have cut me off at some point.
You would think, but I just wanted to see how much you had in you. And you had a lot of piss and vinegar in you tonight. Must have been the hydrogen water. Got you hydrated. But yeah, join us on the Patreon, and you get to join us after dark for the pajama party later tonight. Brian, you had a question for me. You watched the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer that dropped this week. You had questions. Hopefully, I have answers.
Okay. Ron, as loyal listeners of the podcast know, Ron, you're Mr. Marvel.
I'm a fan of Marvel.
You have been a loyal fan over the years. You understand the Marvel verse.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay. And I'm playing catch up.
Right.
You know, I trashed these storylines for a very long period of time. I'm not sure what convinced me to get into it. I think it was, what was that shit show we just watched? I want to say ivermectin, and I know that's not it.
Was it Loki?
Yeah, Loki. I watched Loki. And now I'm trying to stay up on events. So the world was shattered this past week when Marvel released a trailer for a new Spider-Man movie. And I was taken aback. I'll be honest, you know, where's Tobey Maguire?
Well, we are. I mean, it has been rumored that both Tobey Maguire and was it Andrew Garfield will show up in this this movie. But that has not been.
Who's Andrew Garfield?
He was. Remember when they had when they first rebooted Spider-Man with the Amazing Spider-Man? There was in between the Tobey Maguire and Tom Holland Spider-Man movies. Andrew Garfield also starred in a couple of Spider-Man movies.
Oh God. So you're telling me that they're going to have multiple Spider-Man in the Spider-Man?
That is, since they are getting into the multiverse storyline in these movies, it does.
Now, is the multiverse an ode to the variants?
It is.
In Loki?
So the as the story seemingly will go is the fact that he who
remains. Oh, my head's hurting.
The fact that he who remains was killed at the end of the first season of Loki has unleashed the multiverse on the Marvel universe. So apparently you will see, and also, I mean, the new Doctor Strange movie is called Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So it hasn't been a big mystery that, you know, they were going to delve into the multiverse storyline. But apparently Spider-Man No Way Home, you know, again, rumored to have Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, definitely confirmed to have Alfred Molina returning to play Spider-Man villain Doc Octopus. It would appear from the trailer that the Green Goblin may make an appearance, whether Willem Dafoe will replay that character again. Also, you know, possibly Electro could be there, the Lizard. I mean, it's the Sandman. I mean, everybody is pulling apart these trailers. You know, what was also interesting was it does appear in the trailer that Doctor Strange had the Infinity, the Time Stone again, which again, in the current storyline after Endgame, he shouldn't have that. So there's a lot of questions, a lot of people digging into the Spider-Man trailer, trying to figure out what may or may not come about in this movie.
See, I thought that Doctor Strange was a physician who just cheated on his wife a lot.
You would think by the name. But
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
His name is Stephen Strange. It's actually a family name. Not strange in the way that you are interpreting strange.
Okay. That did not, I genuinely watched it for 3 minutes and sat there and said, this looks like a high school movie.
Well, again, I think they had to rush to release this trailer when a leaked trailer ended up online that they managed to get scrubbed off of the internet. But I think pressure to put something out there for people to see.
Now, is there a status update on Scarlett Johansson's lawsuit against Marvel?
I have not seen anything as of yet.
Girl, get your money.
All right, Brian.
What else are we talking, Ron? We had a lot of people pass away.
I mean, let's talk about the people that that died this week. UB40's Brian Travers passing away at the age of 62. He was what? He was their saxophone player, and
yeah, he was one of the founding members.
And just sad to see. Did it say what he passed away from? Oh, COVID. Brain cancer. Oof, that's brutal. Brutal.
No, brain cancer during the COVID pandemic is brutal.
Oh, that's true. That is very true.
When you're dying and nurses are holding up an iPad to your face so loved ones can say goodbye. That's gut-wrenching.
Former Trouble singer Eric Wagner passing away after a battle with COVID pneumonia. Brian, you were upset by this one.
This one hit me hard. I was a huge fan. They were Trouble was a doom metal band. Very much like a less poppy version of Black Sabbath. Very riff driven, very heavy, sludgy, if you would. Exactly what I was looking for in the mid 90s. Trouble put out their self-titled album. I saw them on tour opening up for Danzig at Saratoga Winners upstate. Wow. which was an interesting link. They were on the same label as Danzig, but Trouble were all Christians. They were all pro-Christ. And Danzig was well known to be a Satanist, allegedly. Anywho, but really loved that band. Eric Wagner, probably about 5 years ago, started another band called The Skull. He basically had said that he had kind of hit the wall with Trouble, wanted to do some new things, put out an album or two, I believe, sounded exactly like Trouble. And they were recently on tour with another band who I don't know, on tour of Midwest America. Everybody in the band had been vaccinated except for Mr. Wagner, who could have been our dead anti-vaxxer of the week. He did not believe in the vaccine, had stated so. He had tested positive. He became symptomatic, tested positive, went to the hospital. Quickly, things got worse. And he passed away this week. This one was kind of a knee punch. I wasn't even aware that his band was on tour, and I had wanted to check them out when they came to New York.
All right. Also passing away, Lee Scratch Perry, reggae giant and dub pioneer, passing away at the age of 85, kind of reinvented the genre, pushed the boundaries of Jamaican music, passing away at the age of 85. Cause of death unknown at press time.
Big fan of Lee Scratch Perry. That man was a one-man recording act. He would go into the studio. He'd have an idea. Nobody would have a clue what the heck he was doing. He would play all the different instruments. He would direct the orchestration. And then in the end, he would have an amazing track that influenced so many musicians, Beastie Boys, Korn, Diggable Planets,
right? Just the
Billy Ray Cyrus
to the music scene, immeasurable.
Yes,
and Lee Scratch
Perry, you will be missed.
Lee Scratch Perry would normally have been the top of the list in celebrity obituaries, if it were not for the loss of two other icons. The first one being Charlie Watts, Rolling Stones drummer, passing away at the age of 80. No cause of death was given, but his death does come several weeks after it was announced that he would not be performing on the most recent Rolling Stones tour because of a procedure that he had had, which had been stated to be successful at the time. They didn't say what it was, but it said he was resting and recuperating afterwards. But unfortunately, passing away in a London hospital earlier last week, surrounded by his family.
What are your thoughts about the Stones saying that they're still going to go through with their September tour of the U.S.?
They were going to tour without them anyway. So, I mean, I guess, you know, maybe as an homage, the show must go on, Brian.
I don't know that. I know they were going to tour without him once he announced that he wasn't going to be able to do it. It kind of just feels like a money grab. Well, that they're going to be like, oh, well, you know, our drummer just died, but we're still going out there.
Let's put it this way. Is there anything the Rolling Stones have done in the last 25 years that hasn't seemed like a money grab?
No, but it's just of all the things, maybe this time they don't need to do it.
It's they'll go as long as you've got Keith and Mick, you'll still have it. They'll still go. Just like
we should actually, we should make a bet on which on who of the three remaining Rolling Stones will survive the longest. Mick,
Keith,
Ron Woods, and Ron Keith Wood. Richards.
I mean, my concern is that whoever you pick to stay alive would probably die the quickest. And I don't know that you.
Well, we also know that if we did an over under, we know you would go under and go wrong, and then welch on the bet. So this way, you wouldn't have to pay off on it, leaving me brokenhearted about tradition and loyalty.
Speaking of the Ron and Brian death pool, a couple of people sadly cashed in today with the passing of acting great Ed Asner at the age of 91. I mean, the list of credits from this guy, I mean, twice playing the character Lou Grant, first in Mary Tyler Moore Show, and then as
Mr. Grant,
his own, the most awarded male actor in TV Emmy history. He was most recently seen in the Cobra Kai series, He was in a bunch of Netflix shows. Many kids recognize him
as Carl
in the Pixar movie Up. And if you look at his IMDb, he actually has a few roles that he had completed and has movies and TVs that will continue to release straight through 2023.
Can we also give him credit that he played an amazing character in the movie JFK, where he played the role of Guy Bannister, who was a retired FBI agent in New Orleans, who was rumored to have been involved in the assassination attempt, had hired Lee Harvey Oswald, allegedly, at one point. And let's be brutally honest, we all know how important the character of Guy Bannister is in American folk lore. Changed the internet game forever. When people hear the name Guy Bannister, they think one of two things. One, I want to know that guy. And two, Ed Asner.
There you go.
Pistol whipped Jack Lemmon in the movie.
Yes. So Yitzhak, yes. Edward Asner. We salute.
What was the first name?
Yitzhak. He grew up in a Orthodox Jewish home in Kansas.
Ed Asner was Jewish?
You didn't know this?
I had no idea.
All right.
Oy, well, hey.
That wraps up Celebrity Obituaries and wraps up another edition of the Ron and Brian podcast as we get ready to go to Ron and Brian After Dark for the pajama party. It's going to be a great time. Next week, mark your calendar. It is Labor Day weekend, but we will still be here on Sunday night at 8 o'clock. And with the upcoming start of the NFL season on Thursday, September 9th, that's right. It will be time for Ron and Brian NFL Locks of the Week again. We all make a lot of money each and every football season.
Every year.
If you trust us. So we will be back next week, each of us with two picks each. 4 picks total. Get ready to place your bets.
Ron, tell me if I'm wrong here, and I know my memory is not the best, but am I wrong in remembering the fact that you went the entire season last year without getting a game wrong against the spread?
I mean, you are correct. And also, if I remember, you also did not miss last year. You were Mr. Perfect as well.
Yeah, but yours was more impressive. You went after some really hard charging underdogs and whatnot. Yeah, I was impressed with your effort.
I still have to give you kudos. I don't want to diminish what you were able to do as well.
Stop it.
If you think this is great, then you definitely won't want to miss After Dark with our mugshot game. We're going to see if any of our attendees can beat me in picking.
Can anybody beat you?
I mean, just to give you an idea, I mean, this is kind of a list of crimes that these people with the mugshots could potentially have done. Criminal trespass, DWI, habitual larceny, lying to an officer, lots of different potential crimes. Can you guess what crime they committed based off of their mugshot? We'll find out in 18 minutes. Brian, anything additional before we wrap up this episode?
Ronald, I love you with all my heart, despite all the pain you have caused me. Anybody that is watching right now, I appreciate the fact that you opened up your ears, your eyes to us. You could have watched anything. You decided to watch this. Those listening, thank you so much for allowing us to be part of your world. And just be good to each other.
All right. Have a good week. Get yourself vaccinated. Stay safe. Love one another. And we will catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next week.